Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Financial planning can be overwhelming, regardless of market conditions. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning and tax minimization strategies. Protect your family and future generations without sacrificing our shared principles of hard work and American independence. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Veneria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Prosecutors in New York City are talking about the Daniel Penny case, the chokehold case, even though the guy did not die because of the chokehold. But that trial is coming to an end. The FBI nomination of Cash Patel and the pardon of Hunter Biden, all on the table for this hour. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Thank you for joining us. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family, your friends. And December 20th, we'll be live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So I hope you'll join us for that. We're all reacting to the pardon of Hunter Biden, and this is a corrupt administration, a corrupt Department of Justice, a corrupt president who pardoned himself by pardoning his son, because everything Hunter did tied back to the old man. That's the bottom line. Let me go to Michael. He's been patiently holding in Wilmington. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Good, sir. Thanks for taking my call. A couple things about Hunter Biden that maybe aren't complete. One is his job was he was the middleman, right? There's three parties. There's a buyer of information and influence. There's a seller. That's his dad. And then he's the bag man, the broker, the guy in the middle. You can still, in an investigation, you can still investigate his business partners, which is the man in the middle, or the buyers of the information. And with a pardon, I believe he can't plead the fifth. If he's called to Congress, or in a trial of either his business partners or foreign entities purchasing the information or the influence from the Bidens, he cannot plead the fifth.
Correct. So
the pardon only covers him up until yesterday, but not if he commits perjury.
Right, but perjury is a minor charge. I mean, it's not getting him for corruption. You know what I mean? If he lies in front of Congress, they have to refer him to prosecution. The Department of Justice has to prosecute him for perjury, and then there's a penalty for that, but it's not the penalty of going to prison for corruption. You know what I mean?
But you can still haul Hunter into a congressional hearing.
You can. May end up in I mean, you can, and they should. And I don't know when you were listening to the show or not. I mean, they should do that. They absolutely should. They should impeach Joe Biden. What they should do. The question is, will they?
No, I didn't hear. I just don't tune in the past 45 minutes. I was driving, so yeah. I don't know what was on before.
Here's the thing. What Congress should do is they should hold hearings on this. They should actually subpoena Joe Biden. They should impeach Joe Biden for trying to cover up his crimes by pardoning Hunter Biden. And then the Senate should convict him, even though he's left office, so that Joe Biden always has an asterisk behind his name as president, that he was convicted by the Senate and thus, you know, removed from office, even though he already finished his term. That's what they should do. I don't have a lot of faith in this Republican Congress because they've had 4 years to go after the Bidens and they have done nothing. So I'm not going to hold my breath here that these people are really going to do something now. But look, I mean, hope springs eternal. Maybe they will.
But that investigation could still happen within the FBI or within the CIA.
No, No, it can't, because here's the problem, though. You have a problem of a statute of limitations problem, right? You can't investigate Hunter Biden anymore for these crimes because he's been pardoned. So you can open up an investigation into Joe Biden. You can open up an investigation into James Biden. You can open up, but then, you know, as long as the statute of limitations have not expired, you can open investigations into those people. I don't know what the statute of limitations are, but you can't investigate Hunter Biden anymore at this point. He's been pardoned.
I understand that, but he's still been a business partner, and they're obviously the people who are customers, the people who are buying information or influence. They can still be, that may be discovered within the CIA doing their own auditing of
if the statute of limitations has not expired, though. That's the problem, is that they've delayed this case for so long that there's a window of time where you can't go after people anymore. I'm not saying that's happened. I don't know the answer to that question. But part of their strategy here was to delay and delay and delay until the statute of limitations expired. Once that happens, they can't go after people. I mean, you understand that, obviously. You're a smart guy. So that's the question. I mean, sure, they can go after his business partners if the statute of limitations have not expired, and they could ask Hunter Biden to testify. But those people don't have to. They're not compelled to testify against themselves. They're not compelled to testify against Joe Biden. They can, in their defense, if they want to. But Hunter Biden's not compelled to testify against his old man, unless, you know, they can prove it. I mean, that's the other problem here with this argument about perjury, is that if the Justice Department has the goods on Joe Biden, then give it to Congress and let Congress go after him and impeach him. Because otherwise, Joe Biden's going to claim executive privilege. He's going to claim immunity and say these actions were while he was president. And you're going to have a big court fight over that. The best remedy at this point would be Congress to investigate whether or not Joe Biden abused his authority as president by pardoning his son. And I think he did. And if they do that and they impeach him, they can have a trial in the Senate and they can convict him in the Senate. And then Joe Biden will always be the first president convicted in American history. That's what they should do.
I agree.
We'll see if they do.
Doubtful.
All right, Michael. Thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. I know it's frustrating. I mean, everybody's trying to figure out a way we can get to justice here. I will say this, though. I don't have any faith in this Congress, none whatsoever. They've had 4 years to go after the Bidens. There's been a lot of talk, a lot of sound bites, a lot of gabbing. But I will say this. The ultimate justice we got here is that people were so fed up with all this nonsense that Donald Trump wanted a landslide. So, I mean, I wish I could give you more. You know what I mean? I wish I could give you more. I also can't stand the false hope thing. You know, a lot of talk show hosts do this. And they give people all of these like scenarios in which we can get them. And I remember this during Hillary Clinton, and I kept saying it's not going to happen. And people get mad at me, but I'm telling you the truth. There are other people who are selling you snake oil out there, coming up with these crazy scenarios of how they can still get Hunter and still get Joe. And do you honestly believe the Republicans in this Congress? I'm not saying a Republican. I'm not talking about individual members. Mike Lee would love to do it. Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, there's a whole bunch that would. But do you believe that the Congress would have the testicular fortitude to go after Joe Biden? We all know Joe's guilty. We all know this. Do you think they'll really do it when they've had 4 freaking years to do it? And don't give me the argument that they couldn't do it because of the Senate. We've had the House. They could have impeached Joe Biden by now. They didn't do it. Do you think they'll do it after he leaves office? And if they bring Hunter in and Hunter's caught in a lie, they'll refer him to prosecution. They'll argue that out in court. He'll get a perjury charge. Maybe he'll spend a couple nights in jail and pay a fine. Maybe he'll spend 4 months in jail like Steve Bannon did. But that's still not what he should get. It's still not what he deserves. Is there a silver lining in that? Maybe they can lock him up for perjury? Sure. But at the end of the day, will the Bidens get away with the corruption? Yeah, unfortunately, yes, because the only power at this point would be to go after Joe Biden vis-a-vis the Congress. If the Department of Justice opens up an investigation into Joe Biden, it's going to be problematic for them because of presidential immunity, because of executive privilege. His administration won't, the White House, he'll invoke it. Obama will invoke it. All this was baked into the deal to get him out of the race. So look on the bright side. The bright side is that this corruption led us exactly to Trump winning in a freaking landslide. So that's the upside. We'll have 4 years of Trump and 4 years to make real changes here. And yeah, hopefully expose all this crap. Hopefully Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, whoever else. Maybe the Republicans in Congress will be so inspired by President Trump and by these other people that they'll decide to do the right thing and go after the Biden crime family once and for all. I'm not going to hold my breath, though, based on their experiences so far. And again, I'm not speaking about individual members. Comer's been outstanding. There's been a bunch of these guys who've been great. But here's CNN Scott Jennings nuking President Biden for pardoning his son, Hunter. I thought it was an excellent point that he makes here. Cut number three.
Joe Biden is leaving office making the strongest possible case for Donald Trump that anybody could possibly make it. And that's that our government and our justice system is of, by, and for the elites and nobody else. He ran to banish Trumpism from our political system in this country, and he has left it politically and now institutionally the strongest possible political force in this country. It is a complete and utter failure by the head of the Democratic Party and the President of the United States. Never again do I want to hear, oh, Donald Trump's a liar. You can't believe anything he says. Donald Trump will abuse his power. Donald Trump will only use the system to benefit himself and his family and so on and so forth. Never again. I have one question for Karen, and that is, why did he need an 11-year blanket pardon going back to 2014 when Joe Biden was the vice president? We are sitting on the biggest cover-up of who knows what crimes, and Joe Biden amazingly knows exactly, roughly, when it started. He knows just about when it all started. He's leaving office in complete and total disgrace. He is a liar, and there is no other way to spin this today. This has nothing to do with Trump and everything to do with the character of Joe Biden.
And it has everything to do with Barack Obama. Don't forget, all this happened in Obama's White House. All of it. That's how they got Biden out of the race. Just like I told you they would. Exactly how it all played out. But the problem is that we want and we crave justice here. And you know why MSNBC's ratings went in the toilet? They gave their audience false hope for 8 years that Trump would go to prison. And I'm just not going to do that and tell you that Joe Biden's going to go to prison or Hunter Biden's going to go to prison or anything, because it's false hope at this point. But I do believe that the justice was served on Election Day. I really believe that. I truly, in my heart, believe that. Justice was served on Election Day. And Trump winning in a massive landslide was that point. Here's disgraced former FBI, Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, this hack, talking about how we're all going to perpetuate conspiracy theories now. This guy's a disgrace. Cut 28.
Republicans are really seizing on the time frame here, right, including the senator-elect from Indiana, Jim Banks, who said Joe Biden issued a pardon to Hunter Biden for any crimes that he might have committed since 2014. Why such a specific year? Well, Hunter Biden just so happened to join the board of Burisma, a Ukrainian energy firm, in that same year, 2014. So corrupt. What do you make of the time frame here?
Well, I mean, my initial impression was this is the president's desire to protect him for the longest period that reflects the president's time of service in the White House. But nevertheless, the effect of that very broad 10-year time frame is, ironically, it will perpetuate the conspiracy theories and the accusations around Hunter Biden. They'll never be resolved criminally, but it gives his detractors the opportunity to say, oh, well, he must have done something in 2014 to require a pardon going back that far.
He joined the board of Burisma in April of 2014, you hack. That's why it goes back to January 1st, 2014. It's not random. He joined Burisma that year, you idiot. You're not an idiot. You know that full well, McCabe. You know that full well. You're a lying sleazeball, but you're not an idiot, and you know that. You know that, and you're lying your ass off. All right, listen. When it comes to your business, security and safety is a top priority for every business owner. Look no further than my friend Tom McCausland and McCausland Lock and Alarm to secure your facilities. They'll help you control access. That means a state-of-the-art key card system so you determine who gets where in your facility, and incredible camera systems so that you can keep an eye on everything. I know a lot of companies can sell you these things, but there's only one, Tom McCausland. His wealth of knowledge and experience allow McCausland to effectively protect all types of facilities, no matter what the environment. And just as important, their customer service is unmatched. When you need assistance, you'll talk to a local expert, probably Tom himself. You'll never be stuck in a voice message system not knowing what number to push. So if you're serious about protecting your facilities, you need to seriously consider McCausland Lock and Alarm. Call Tom at 610-430-1500. That's 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm. You need this for your business, and they're the best ones to do it for you. McCausland Lock and Alarm.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so I'm going to do something a little different tonight. I don't normally do this, but the opening of the show today, I went through in great detail the timeline of Hunter Biden, and that was at 3 o'clock, and it's 6:26 now, so it was a long time ago, and you probably didn't hear it because you were, you know, doing something else. So I want to replay that because it goes through all the details, and I can't replicate it because I'm, you know, my brain shot at this point. But I think it's important to go through in step-by-step detail exactly how all this played out leading up to this pardon. It really goes all the way back to before the 2016 election. I mean, it goes back that far, that all of this was in play. So I want to go through that with you. But I also want to mention, you know, in everything we talk about on this show, we're always on top of everything. We had an entirely different show planned for today until the news broke last night about Hunter Biden. And I want to point out, Paul Sperry just made this point on X. IRS whistleblower agent Joseph Ziegler says Biden lied in his pardon statement when he said Hunter was late paying taxes because of serious addiction. In fact, Ziegler notes Hunter pleaded guilty to filing false tax returns after he became sober and profited from his book. So the pardon itself is even a lie. But the pardon was entirely about Joe Biden getting out of the race for president, as I will explain. So stay tuned. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
So look, I told you this was going to happen. There were lots of people who said it wasn't going to happen. They believed Biden, but this was all baked in. The whole thing was baked. The whole thing was baked. Here's what they did. Just go back in time a little bit, right? They wanted Biden out of the race, but he didn't want to go. He's a stubborn old codger, and he didn't want to go anywhere. But, of course, all of the corruption that occurred in Barack Obama's administration. So everything regarding Ukraine. And the pardon goes back to 2014 for any and all crimes Hunter Biden may or may not have committed. All starts then. Burisma, Joe Biden threatening the prosecutor, threatening the prime minister or the president of Ukraine. I'm going to go back with my $1 billion if you don't fire the prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, right? The guy was investigating Burisma, which was paying Hunter Biden 10% for the big guy. All of this all happened on Barack Obama's watch. They're fine with it, though, because Democrats are okay with corruption as long as you play ball. As long as you play ball, they're okay with your corruption. In fact, they like it. They applaud it. They want you to keep doing it. Same with Bob Menendez. I mean, everybody knew Bob Menendez was a crook all these years, but it was only when Bob Menendez crossed him on the Iran nuclear deal that they decided to prosecute him. So, back in October of last year, David Axelrod goes to the Obama reunion, and then he decides that Joe's got to go. Joe's got to go, meaning that the Obamas, they all sat around the table, and they said, that's it. The old man can't win. He's got to go. How do we get him out of the race? How do we do it? Well, they tried being nice, and that didn't work. And then ultimately, if you remember, one of the Obama podcast bros, the Pod Save America bros, wrote a very long social media post about how Joe Biden has a choice. You can go out with your legacy intact, or your legacy is going to be destroyed. Now, most people looked at that and assumed that what they meant was Biden would lose. But as I told you at the time, just losing is not enough to destroy your legacy. Like, it's more than that. Legacy is more than just simply losing an election. Like, lots of people lose their election and they've got, you know, a legacy. That's what they have. They have a legacy. But even though they lost the election, they still have a legacy, and that's how that goes. So it was more than that. Obviously, it was more than that. What it had to do with, in every single way, in every aspect, what it had to do with was the corruption. The Obama people said, in no uncertain terms, we will expose everything and we will destroy you. We will destroy you and your legacy with it. That's what happened. That's how it played out. Bottom line, that's what occurred. So Joe Biden was faced with a choice. He's going to lose either way, right? Because they could expose the corruption, and then America's not going to vote for him because he's going to be a corrupt SOB, and he loses. Or he gets to go out with his quote-unquote legacy intact. You see, if you're streaming on YouTube, I'm doing air quotes, legacy intact, meaning that they'll hide the corruption, and you can pardon your son. And it all goes away. You get to enjoy your money on the beach in Delaware, and everybody will think of you as this revered statesman. We'll write books about you and how selfless you were, what a hero you were. George Clooney will praise you. Everyone will praise you. You saved democracy. Blah, blah, blah. Or if you don't get out of the race, we're going to expose all this corruption. You're going to go down as a corrupt SOB you are. Your son's going to go to prison. You'll be exposed, probably going to owe all kinds of money to the IRS at worst. At best, your legacy is over. That's it. Here are your options. Pick door A or door B. And I told you at the time that when Joe Biden ultimately got out of the race, it was because they had that leverage from the Hunter Biden laptop. Let's go back again in the DeLorean back to 2020. When we were all told it was Russian disinformation, it was not to cover up the fact that Hunter Biden had nudie pics of him snorting cocaine off of strippers. No. In fact, if it was just that, they would have used that as the redemption story. Yes, the redemption of Hunter Biden. And they all would have said the same thing. Look at how he's turned his life around. Here he was at the rock bottom doing cocaine off a stripper's rear end. And now he's on stage with his father running for president of the United States of America. What an epic comeback story. And Joe Biden would go out to the Democrat National Convention. He would talk to the voters about drug addiction. He was going to make it his priority as president. Blah, blah, blah. No. The reason why the deep state, 51 former national security officials, the CIA and the FBI all worked to cover up the Hunter Biden laptop and then got their friends in big tech and the corporate media to go along with it and censor anybody who said otherwise, was because that laptop exposed all of Joe Biden's corruption. The Ukraine corruption and China and Russia and Romania. Let's not forget Romania, the lesser of the corrupt countries, but a corrupt country nonetheless. It was all there. The FBI had it in its possession since 2019. They knew it was real. They knew it was all there. And that was the problem. Had all this come out right before the election, well, then Americans would have probably made a different choice. Because they would have said, this guy's compromised. He's not this. Remember in 2020, the picture they were trying to paint of Joe Biden was kind old man hiding in the basement, keeping you safe from COVID and mean tweets with an impeccable reputation. Oh, sure. Sometimes Uncle Joe slips and says things we all regret. But otherwise, this is a man with an impeccable streak of integrity. Now, everybody who knew him knew that that was a joke. He was a corrupt SOB, a liar, a plagiarizer, and a real SOB to be around. Nasty guy. The real Joe Biden's all those things. But it was a caricature that they created in the 2020 election. Go back in time again. The FBI is listening to Rudy Giuliani's phone calls as they make a decision whether or not to prosecute him. And they hear Rudy talking to Miranda Devine of the New York Post about the Hunter Biden laptop. It's at that moment that the FBI tells Twitter, this is pre-Elon Musk, obviously, something big's coming. That Russian disinformation, the election interference we've been telling you about, well, it looks like it's about to happen. New York Post publishes a story of the Hunter Biden laptop. 51 former national security officials write the letter saying it's Russian disinformation. Twitter bans any mention of it, kicks the New York Post off Twitter, doesn't allow you to share it, doesn't allow anyone to talk about it because it violates their policy on quote-unquote hacking. And if you're streaming on YouTube, you just saw I did air quotes again, hacking, even though there was no allegations that Hunter Biden's laptop was hacked. Okay, so corporate media does the same thing, and there's a whole roundup of people going on and saying the Hunter Biden laptop is fake, it's Russian disinformation, blah, 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 blah. Jen Psaki, who at the time is just merely a campaign consultant before she'd be elevated to the prestigious White House press secretary role, she has a tweet still posted to this day. 51 former national security officials all say the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. Okay. That was not because of Hunter Biden's nudie pics. It was because the picture, the caricature of Joe Biden as the kind old man hiding in the basement protecting you from COVID and mean tweets would blow up and everybody would know what a corrupt SOB he was. Trump brought it up on the debate stage, if you remember, and Joe Biden turned around and said 51 former national security officials all said this is Russian disinformation. Biden knew it was real. The FBI knew it was real. Everybody knew it was real. But the deep state did what they had to do, and that was the ultimate election interference. They literally, the government of the United States of America, its law enforcement and national security apparatus, kicked into gear to stop Donald Trump from winning re-election. Their boss, talk about undermining your boss, right? Undermined their boss to help him lose the election. That and a whole lot of dead people voting, but that's for another show. And Joe Biden has the help of the corporate media, big tech, and the government, the unholy triad, all working in tandem to protect him from the truth, which is that he's a corrupt SOB, and that his son was just a bag man for the Biden crime family, and Biden was getting 10% for the big guy. Then what happens? Well, down the road, Hunter Biden enters into what is referred to as a sweetheart deal. Now, at the time, I told you, please don't refer to it as a sweetheart deal. I said to you, this is a deal to cover up the corruption of the president of the United States. See, I'm usually a step ahead on these things, and I don't say that to brag. It's just that your time is valuable, as I always say, and I don't want to waste it. I appreciate you investing it in me and the show, and I want you to know it's being well spent. So I was ahead of this long before other people were, and I said at the time, this is not a sweetheart deal. They took the gun diversion agreement and the IRS charges and all of Hunter's tax crimes, financial crimes, and they package them together. Why? Because it would give Hunter absolute immunity. And by doing it through the gun diversion agreement, the judge, Tanya Chutkin, would not be able to say no. Typically, in most of these situations, the judges have to accept the plea agreement. But not if it's a gun diversion charge under the program the Department of Justice has. So they rolled up all of the financial crimes into that. And it was only because the judge was able to use a Jedi mind trick against Hunter Biden and his idiot legal team that it all blew up a couple summers ago. You remember that, right? Hunter was going to be a free man. It was all going to go away. Everything was going to go away. The corruption of Hunter Biden and then his father, Joe Biden, thanks to the Department of Justice, was all going to go away in a gun deal. Because he lied on that gun form. And everything, all of it, was going to be rolled in. Except for one thing. The judge brought up the fact that could Hunter theoretically be charged as a foreign agent down the road? And they said, yeah, technically. And that was enough. Idiots hire idiots, and his idiot legal team let that blow up. All because Hunter wasn't given immunity for anything and everything. He just was given immunity for all the financial crimes of his father and the gun charge. Then what happens? Well, then the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, who up until that point was telling everybody, we don't need a special counsel, that the United States Attorney for the state of Delaware had all the authority he needed. All the authority he needed. Whistleblowers came forward. Whistleblowers from the IRS and said, listen, we got the goods on this guy and they are protecting him. We should be able to go after him in California and Maine Justice, which is where the Department of Justice is located in D.C. It's known as Maine Justice, not the state of Maine, but Maine is in central. Maine Justice said no. We wanted to go after him in California. Maine Justice said no. We wanted to interview that person, that person. Maine Justice said no. So these whistleblowers, Gary Shapley and others, they come forward, right? They come forward and they talk about all of this stuff. What happens to these guys? Well, they get blasted. They're called conspiracy kooks. They're called crazy people. Merrick Garland winds up appointing a special counsel, even though up until that point, he said that David Weiss, the United States attorney for the state of Delaware, had all the power he needed. But apparently not, because then Merrick Garland named him a special counsel. Then what happens? Well, now that he's a special counsel, he has the ability to go outside of the various districts. Because as a U.S. attorney, he has to ask permission to charge in another U.S. attorney's sandbox. And Maine Justice said no, but a special counsel can do whatever he wants. So the special counsel then indicted Hunter Biden in California on financial crimes. And they separated the two, the financial crimes of the father and then the gun charge. The gun charge was irrelevant. It was always a red herring just to be able to cover up the crimes of the father. But now that it blew up, things had started to change politically. The landscape had changed. When they first made that deal, everybody thought Joe Biden would win re-election. The economy was stronger. I mean, all the spending by Joe Biden had not really taken hold yet. They thought, we'll prosecute Donald Trump. We'll go after him. And he'll wind up in prison. But he'll get the nomination because MAGA will circle the wagons around him and he'll be the nominee. But then he'll lose in a landslide because he'll be an indicted felon, convicted felon. And we'll get him in Georgia. We'll get him in New York. We'll get him on the federal level. We'll raid his house. We'll do all these things to him. And Biden's guaranteed a shoo-in, no doubt about it. And Biden's our puppet. He invades Ukraine. Well, I should say Russia invades Ukraine and Biden goes along with it and starts giving Ukraine everything that they need. The defense industrial complex is very, very happy. They're loving this. They're loving life. 2021, life is good. Spending like drunken sailors, it's all good. Then they start the prosecutions against Trump. And then the rest is history, as you know. But in the time frame between when they had that deal that I said, don't call a sweetheart deal, call it the deal to save the cover up the corruption of the father, the financial crimes of President Joe Biden, between that time and when it all fell apart, it's a lot of years. In politics, that was a million years, like dog years, political years. Even though it was only, what, a year, year and a half, so much had changed. The economy goes to hell because of all the spending, the inflation. Biden is losing his mind, and Trump is surging in popularity because of the prosecutions and the indictments, and not just with MAGA, but with everybody. They realize something at this point. We have to get this guy out of the race. But he's a stubborn old bastard, so he doesn't want to go anywhere. And that's where the godfather comes in, the Chicago master, Barack Obama. And Barack Obama, being the Chicago crime boss that he is, goes to Joe Biden with the help of Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, and Chuck Schumer, and says, here's the deal. You get out, go to your beach house, build your little sand castles, keep your money, and we put somebody else up there. Or if you don't, everything that we covered up for you that's on that laptop, which again, Joe, we covered up the laptop not because of Hunter Biden's disgusting nudie pics. We covered up the laptop because it links you to your son's corruption. That all comes out. And I was president during all that, Joe. I'm the one who gave you the Ukraine portfolio, Joe. I'm the one who watched as you threatened the president of Ukraine to withhold $1 billion in aid. I'm the one who, behind the scenes, got Congress to impeach Donald Trump for asking questions about that. Remember, Trump was impeached by the Congress over a phone call to Zelensky. They said he was digging up foreign dirt on his political adversaries, and therefore he should be impeached. Barack Obama and company were the ones who made that happen because they needed that to end. They couldn't have Zelensky turn around and give the goods on the Biden crime family. But it was all there. So ultimately, Joe Biden had no choice. He didn't want to go. He was forced out of the race. They did a coup against him. And, you know, I've made jokes that nobody was more surprised than Joe Biden when he found out he dropped out of the race. And that's funny, which is why I made the joke. But he knew it was coming. He had no choice. He was trying to make phone calls. He was trying to do everything. But the Obamas had decided. Barack Obama had decided, and whatever dirt Joe Biden had on Barack Obama, drowned in a pool. Let's face it. Everybody in Washington has something on everybody. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. Harry Truman once said, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog. I'm sure that Joe Biden had stuff on Barack Obama. And I'm sure that when that guy drowned in that pool in Martha's Vineyard, I'm sure it all went away. The point is, Joe Biden had no leverage. And Obama had all the leverage. And people turned around and they said, yeah, but the problem is that if Biden exposes Obama's, if Obama exposes Biden's corruption, then isn't he implicated? And the answer is no, because the Supreme Court handed down presidential immunity. But even before that, he would claim executive privilege and he would just say, I didn't know what he was doing. I mean, I guess we were sloppy, but I don't really know. Biden had no chips to play at this point, so he had to get out of the race. But as part of the deal, the Hunter Biden pardon was baked into that cake. So in all the times during the election, they kept saying he would not pardon his son. He would not pardon his son. He will not pardon his son. And we've got a montage of Karine Jean-Pierre and Joe Biden both saying that. But you knew. And I knew. And everybody with a thinking brain knew he was going to pardon his son. And it's not because he's a sweet dad. It's because the pardon means the corruption of Joe Biden goes away. Now, I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. John Yoo is, and he'll be on the show later today. But a number of people have talked about this idea of, well, now Hunter Biden has waived his Fifth Amendment protections, so Congress can compel him to testify. Congress has had 2 years to do something, and they've done nothing. With Republican control, they've done nothing. They've had hearings. They've done nothing. And there's no way Congress will bring a former president to testify. It's never happened. It will not happen. It's over. Unfortunately, it's over because a pardon is absolute. And it goes back to 2014, right where Joe Biden's corruption and Hunter Biden's corruption in Ukraine intersects. And that's the end of that. Now, if Kash Patel gets in as FBI director and Pam Bondi gets in as attorney general, they can expose a lot of this stuff. And I hope that they will. Jim Comer and his committee, they can all expose a lot of this stuff. Again, Chairman Comer, I hope they do. But as far as prosecutions go, no, they can't. Unfortunately, they can't. But politically speaking, this is devastating for the Democrat Party. Coming off of this huge loss like this, and then for years saying no one's above the law, no one's above the law, for Joe Biden to come out and now pardon his kid, his corrupt kid. And people are turning around going, are you freaking kidding me? This is terrible political optics, but Joe Biden doesn't care. If he had won, if he had stayed in the race, or if Kamala had won, they might have been able to cover this up and it might have been unnecessary. And she could have got in there and the attorney general could have just kept delaying, delaying, delaying until everybody forgot about it. But she lost and that's how it goes. The pardon's baked in. That's the end of it. Bada bing, bada boom. I'm not happy that I literally predicted all of this, by the way. I'm not. And I'm only saying so because your time is valuable and I want to make sure you know you're spending it wisely. The Zioli Army, your time is not wasted. But I saw this coming a mile away. They had the leverage. Joe Biden would have been in this race had it not been for the laptop. If it had not been for the fact that Barack Obama was a witness to all of this corruption and that Barack Obama decided he had to go. At that point, like I told you at the time, like I said to you after that debate, like I said to you before that debate in June, when I told you that debate was nothing more than a setup to get him out of the race. And I said, why are we doing a debate in June? And all of America saw his cognitive decline. And everybody went from they were gaslighting us up to 5 minutes before that debate, saying this was the best version of Joe Biden they'd ever seen. The guy's got it all together to 5 minutes after the debate, all coming out in a chorus and saying Joe Biden's got to go. Biden's got to go. George Clooney writes his op-ed, that very famous picture of Barack Obama walking Joe off the stage. It was all orchestrated. At that point, I said to you, it's over. Biden is toast. He's done. He's out of this race. There's no way he can survive this. I predicted that. It's in a podcast. I'm sure Matt DeSantis can pull it up for us. I said to you, the Chicago mob boss has spoken, and Joe Biden is done. He cannot survive this. He will not survive this. And sure enough, he didn't. And I said the pardon was coming, and the pardon's here.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.